Today is the yahrzeit of Rav Yosef Tendler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the manal of the Mechina for almost 50 years. I don't think any of you knew him, not amongst the Talmidim of the Mechina. So why are we making this commemoration of his yahrzeit? What's the connection to you and to Rav Yosef Tendler Zecher? The Indian of Hakoras HaToiv is a yesod of Yiddishkeit. A person can't be an Eved Hashem if he doesn't have the midah of Hakoras HaToiv. The Gemara says in Kedushin that if a person doesn't have Derech Eretz for his parents, he's not Mechabed of Ve'eim. And Hakoras Baruch Hu says, if he's Mitzar them, Shira Moli, if I lived amongst them, Siruni, they would have been mitzar me also. Why? Because when a person doesn't have a Hakoras HaToiv for his parents, he doesn't recognize the fact that they gave him life, they sustained him, they gave him what he is. If he doesn't have that basic Hakara, then he won't have Hakara for Kodesh Baruch Hu also. He won't recognize that everything he has in his whole existence is because of Hakoras Baruch Hu. If he's lacking Hakoras HaToiv, he will lack it to the Ribbono Shel Olam also, and then he can't have a relationship, he can't be an Eved Hashem. That's the yesod of Hakoras HaToiv. We owe a tremendous Hakoras HaToiv to Rav Tendler Zetzal. He was the manal here for almost 50 years. He came as a Rebbe, he came as a Talmud from Rav Aaron Kotler Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and became a Talmud of our Rosh Yeshiva, our first Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He fused the Hashkafas together and created this wonderful Mechina that we have today. The Seder of the Mechina, the Hadrocha of the Mechina, the approach of the Mechina, all that came from him, together with the Avdil Mechaim Lechaim, the Mashkiach, or Mechtoli Kaplan, and the Rebbeim at that time. And under the guidance of Rabbi Neuberger, Zitzal produced this beautiful Moshav that we have. And that's why we have to remind ourselves of the Menar of the Mechina of Tendler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's a very great kavod for us to hear Divrei Zikaron from Rav Hopfer Shlita, someone with whom Rav Tendler was close, someone who Rav Tendler respected and sought advice from and shared with many matters of the Mechina. It's a pleasure and cover to ask Rav Hopfer to speak to us.
For me to be able to speak to Bnei Torah, a special kavod. I was not privileged to be a Talmid of Yeshivas Ne'er Yisrael, and my first introduction, or the first time I think that I met Rav Tendler, was at a chasana of one of his children. I lived in Denver, and the chassan, Rav Yanke Friedman, he lived in Denver, and we were very close, and I came for the chassana, and I still remember this was the first time that I had met him. I think it was at the chassana, and he asked me if I would say some divrei Torah at the Suda of the Chasana. You have to understand that most Chasanas did not have that. There weren't people that there wasn't a short drosha of divrei Torah at a Chasana. It wasn't in Nohog. In Europe they used to do that, and in Europe they still do it. But in America, nobody spoke at a Chasana. And he asked me if I would speak. And I sort of looked at him with a little of an astonishment. And he told me that he insists that at every one of his chasnas that somebody speak Divrei Torah. And he said, how can you have a chasna? How could you have such a simcha without talking about the Rabbeinu Shlalom's Torah and saying words of Divrei Torah that make the Suda a different kind of a Suda? He's right, he was right, but there was one thing that I learned immediately about him. When he believed something, when he believed that something was the right thing to do, and it was really something that would be a covet for the Rabbeinu Shalom, and it was something that a Bnei Torah should do, although it looked different, and it was different. Nobody did that, or very, very few people did it. But this is the way it's supposed to be, and he's not impressed by everybody else. Meaning to say, it's not that fakir, he had a lot of kovod and harocha for people. But at the same time, you don't have to be afraid to do something because everybody else doesn't do it. And this strength, the strength of character, his inner strength, that it was something that led him all his life. This ability, he believed when he thought through something, and especially if he sought advice from other people. He was a person that had very strong beliefs in things, but at the same time, he knew that other people don't see it that way, and he would speak and ask advice from other people. But at that time, once he came to a decision, he made a decision that this is what he has to do and wants to do, there was nothing that could move him just because everybody else doesn't do it. And that's the way he lived his life. It wasn't for a covet, it wasn't for prominence, it wasn't for prestige, it wasn't for power. I'm here to do the Rabbeinu Shlalom's work. That's my tachlis in life. I'm here to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom, and if this is the way to serve the Rabbeinu Shlalom, I don't have to fear others. It takes an enormous amount of strength. You know, at this point, Bachrim, you're not making those kinds of decisions, but you're going to make decisions throughout your lifetime. And a lot of them need and take a lot of inner strength. And that's something that you have to realize, and it needs chizuk, and this is something that we can learn and should learn from the Baal Hilula that we're talking about. In today's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu Yisro comes together with Tzipora and their two children, Asher Shem Ha'achas Gershom. Two children, Gershom and Eliezer. Gershom is called Gershom, ki omar, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ger ha'yisi be'eretz nochriya. I was a stranger in this land, in Midian, kipshuta, that's what it means. I was a stranger in Midian, and I'm a ger there. And the second thing, his second child was Eliezer, ki lekei avi be'ezri v'yatzileinu mecher parah. I had to run away from parah. He wanted to kill me. And the Rabbeinu Shalom saved me. And I want to always remember that nest that the Rabbeinu Shalom did for me, the kindness that he did for me. He spared my life. And I want to remember that. And the question that is asked is that in the sequence of events, it should be the other way. The first child should have been Eliezer, named Eliezer, because Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from Parah. And the second child, so the first child should be named Eliezer, and the second child should be named Gershom. Gershom, Ger HaYisi. I lived in Midian, Be'eretz Nachriya. It's a strange land. It's not a land that I belong in. And I lived there, and that's my child's name, Gershom. That should have been the second name. And why does he call his son by Ger Hayisi Be'eretzna? I think that the answer is that Ger Hayisi Be'eretzna Chriya, I don't belong here. This is not my place. It's an Eretz Nechor. It's a strange place. I belong with my people. Where do I belong? I belong with my people. I want to feel their tzar, even if the Shevet Levi didn't work. But Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe went out, Le'echob, he felt their pain, and he's there, and he sees their pain, and feels their pain. And I don't belong here in Midian, where I don't feel the pain of my brethren, and that's really where I want to be. I want to be together with my people, with my brothers and my sisters. I want to live and with my people and feel their tzar and daven for them, and it davens differently when you see them and you know them. When you see the tzaris that they're afflicted with, then it's a different kind of a feeling. And he never wanted to forget that. Meaning to say, before my personal issues, I was saved from Cherev Parah, but the first thing is, I think about my people. That's the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu thinks about, and that comes first. Ger hayisi be'eretz nochriya. And, you know, the dedication of Rav Tendler, Rav Yosef, his dedication to Klal Yisrael, his dedication to the Bochrim, what's good for them, what is good, what is not good, how can I help a Bochr, it was always on his mind, always on his mind. And how can I make something better? How can I make the yeshiva a better and a bigger and a greater makom Torah? And how can I help a bachur to shteig and to be a bigger ben aliyah and a better person, a better human being, a better bal midos? It was always on his mind, his people. Others, he cared for his family, he cared for himself personally, but there was such a dedication to others, and mostly to a community, to the Baltimore community. He did dvarim that were important for the tzarech of the klal, but especially, you know, the yeshiva akdasha, how he cared for the bachrim. And again, once he believed in something, he did it, and there was nothing that could sway him. Another maybe pshat in Ger HaYisi Be'eretz Nochriya is that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm alone, I'm by myself. Meaning to say, the environment that I am in Midian, is completely alien to everything that I know, that I believe in. And if I would be with my brothers, you know, it would be good. It would be good. I could feel Ruchnius there when you're amongst your brothers. But here, there's nothing for me here in Midian. And he thanked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he had the inner strength to be able to live here in Midian without an environment of Kedusha and without an environment of Aliyah. And yet he was able to keep what he had, Moshe Rabbeinu's Darga and Moshe Rabbeinu's Maila. And that was what he thanked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Again, that comes first, before saved by Ines, but that my Yiddishkeit, you know, my darge in Avodas Hashem and my darge in Torah and whatever it might be, wasn't affected by my environment. You have to understand how difficult that is, how difficult something like that is. And that's the inner strength that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us all. And we, when we exhibit that, that's Ezeo Gibor, you know, what Chazal referred to, Ezeo Gibor HaKoybish Es Yitzra. That's the ultimate of Gvura. I don't know if you, Bochrim, if you don't read or maybe hear things that are going on in the world, but you know, in Eretz Yisrael now, they returned some hostages, you know, after a long period of time. you know how they lived, how the hostages lived the whole year, a little more than a year, you know, in tunnels and in terrible, terrible conditions. You know what it is when a person, even when a person is an emissary al-Khayyid, and you go through such difficult times, and it's so depressing and so difficult, and they do things that inhumanize a person. And you've all, I'm sure, read stories about what happened to people that went through, you know, the Holocaust. Bederech Klal, I don't want to say there are exceptions, but Bederech Klal, situations like that weaken a person's resolve. It weakens a person's resolve. There was a young girl who came out now a week ago. A young girl, her name is Agam Berger. She doesn't come from a frum mishpacha at the time when she was taken captive. And there, in the darkness of a tunnel, of the tunnels, and the darkness of the Chevy, she became an Erlich Yid. She became an Erlich young woman, knowing that, as Elonu El Lishoin El Avinu Shebashamayim, there is no other true help but from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And my place in life is to try to do Ritzoin Koinoi, to try to do his way in his work, and his work. Again, what I'm just talking about is all of you, every one of you, there's such inner strength that everybody has, and you have to learn a lesson, take a look at a lesson that you can learn from this young girl who became a balas tshuva in the cheshech afela that she lived through, as did her mother and her parents become. But look what there is, what a person was afamot. You know, the strength that that all of us have. So we all face nisyonos, all of us. Every single person has nisyonos. And that's the way the Avodas Hashem is meant to be. If there wouldn't be schar, if there wouldn't be nisyonos, and the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to give the Olam the true schar of nitzchius, there is no greater schar. To get nitzchias, you have to deserve it, and to deserve it is to overcome nisyonos that there are in life, and it's something that everybody can do. This strength, if you would, Rabbi Yosef learned. You have to know where he grew up. Grew up in the lower East Side, and you have to know the times. A bocher, a young man, I'm talking about even in the frum world. You grow up, you go to high school, you graduate high school, you go to college. You go to college because you're obligated, you have to have a parnosa, which a person has to have, which is true. And he has to have a parnosa, and the way to have a parnosa is to go to school and therefore be able to earn a livelihood. For somebody, you know, to go and to become a Lamed Torah, if you would know the gvura that there was, in doing taking a move like that, I'm talking about going to, in this case, to Lakewood Yeshiva to become a Talmud of the Baron Kotler. And what's he doing? In the eyes of other people, there's a very derogatory term, a benkvetcher. You know, somebody who sits on a bench and does nothing. He doesn't work, doesn't do anything. He's not a responsible person. And that was the name of people who, you know, who were B'nai Torah. And here you have somebody who's doing something, the few, really few. How many B'nai Torah you think that there were in all of America? And to go ahead and to do something like that, and to hear you go home for Shabbos, you go home, the ridicule that there is, you know, for somebody to do that, he just doesn't want to work, you know, these are parasites or so, and that's what, you don't want to work, you're lazy, it's an easy way out. Here is, you have to understand the omel in Torah, there is no greater omel than the omel of Torah. But to be able to do something that is so different, and I say again, there's ridicule to something like that, and that's the way even I'm talking about amongst our people. When I say our people, I'm talking about people that were Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. If you knew the strength that you needed to, you know, that you needed to exhibit to be able to withstand that and to believe in Torah and to believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah, and that's we're here to learn the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah and Kehem Chayenu, that's our life. Not relegating, not saying that there's not a responsibility to a family, there is, and you have to understand what the young girls that there were, the few that there were, his Eshes Chayil. You know what it is for her, a woman, to go and be the supporter of the family at that time that her husband should be able to learn. If you would know the inner strength that it took to do something like that, then you could so much more appreciate what this is, that the rotzen to do, you know, the tzayin kainai, and to learn the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah, to be an omel bat Torah, and yageya in Torah, and work in Avodas Hashem and work on Midas Shezeh Tachlis O Adam. You have to know what that kind of strength is. But we have such strength, every single one of us. I just would like to say one thing. You know, we have mitzvahs. We have Taryag mitzvahs. The Rabbeinu Shalom is mitzava us to do mitzvahs. The only ones that we can't do bederach klal are avoid that mitzvahs that have to do with kedusha se'aretz, bavanuseinu arabim. We don't have a beis hamikdash, and the chiyuv, you know, those chiyuvim of korbanos and that are totally and the bayis are not here, and maybe kedusha se'aretz legabe trumas and maisis are not here min haTorah. But that's mipnei chatoenu. It's because of what we did that we don't have a beis hamikdash, and we don't have that kedusha se'aretz. But all mitzvahs, if the Rabbeinu Shalom tells you to put on tefillin, is mitzvah you to put on tefillin. Bederach klal, we were able to do it. Sometimes there's an oynes, sometimes you can't. Right? You can't do it for whatever reason it is. But the Rabbeinu Shalom never took away the ability to do mitzvahs. Sometimes the goyim don't allow you to do it. Okay, somebody's in the gulag and he can't put on tefillin. But the Rabbeinu Shalom never took away the ability to do a mitzvah. I think there's one mitzvah that the Rabbeinu Shalom took away, and mitzvah tcheles. There's a mitzvah to put tzitzis, there's a mitzvah to put tcheles on your tzitzis. There's a loban and there's tcheles. And we don't, I'm looking at some people are smiling here, you know, maybe some people put on, but the Rabbeinu Shalom for a long, long time has taken away our ability to put on tcheles. Why? Why did the Rabbeinu Shalom do something like that? It was a question that bothered me for years and years. I thought about this question. Why did the Rabbeinu Shalom take away that ability to, you know, not to be able to wear tcheles? Tzitzis, it says in the Gemara, in Menachos, the concept of wearing tzitzis, you know, when you want to publicize sometimes who you are, and a sports fan, if somebody follows, he's a fan of a certain team, so he'll wear a jacket and it says on it what team, you know, he likes, or whatever it might be, what company he works for. That's a chosim. That's a chosim. Avodim, you have in, you know, avodim, it says in the Mishnah, in Shabbos, Avodim used to have a chosim on either their beged or on their guf. There was a chosim that their avodim tzitzis to put on what we refer to it tzitzis fringes on a beged. The beged is the beged. Tzitzis don't beautify the beged. The reason that we wear tzitzis are a tachshit because we are saying it's a way for us to constantly remember we're avodim. It's a sign of avdus. We're avodim, and an eved has to have a chosim on himself. And we, as elach yidden, as yidden who want to do the Rabbeinu Shalom's mitzvahs, have a chosim on us, and that's the meaning, the poshut understanding of the pasuk. Rishem oisoy zachatem kol mitzvahs Hashem. You remember all the mitzvahs by wearing tzitzis. It means because when you constantly are reminded that you're an eved, then you put on, then you do the ritzayin of the Rabbeinu Shalom and do all of his mitzvahs as he commanded us to do. It's a sign of avdus. That's one kind. That's logon. That's the big, that's the tzitzis that are white. Then there's something else. There's what's called a royal servant. A royal servant. I don't know if you, if I was never there, but I've seen pictures, you know, throughout my life. There are guards at Buckingham Palace. You ever saw pictures of the guards at Buckingham Palace? The guards at Buckingham Palace, you know, they have these fiery red jackets, and they wear a spudik, you know, Streimel. They stand guard outside the palace to protect the king and the queen. Okay? They stand at attention, and you can tell them a joke, you can do what you want to, they don't flinch, they don't move. What is it? I'm here to serve the king. I'm here to serve the queen. That's what I'm here for. That's my purpose. That's what a royal servant is. And you don't know what kind of a covet it is. Anybody that was ever a guard in Buckingham Palace, you get a job anywhere. That's what's called a royal servant. A royal servant. And he's dressed differently. He's dressed in royalty colors. Tcheles is umardcha yotze meis hamelech bilvush. And he went with tcheles. He went with tcheles. That's royalty. We, besides being avodim, we're royal servants. We're royal servants of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's a kovod to represent the Rabbeinu Shalom. You know what it is? That's our tafkid. Our tafkid is to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, to be a royal servant. And he sees through our actions, we see the hashivas of the king, of the Ribon HaOlamim, of the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what it means that we have the schus, the privilege to be able to wear tzitzis of tcheles, not only loban avdus, but a certain kind of an eved. We're royal servants. And the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, his hashgacha had it, we're not so deserving. There's a churban, and Baba Nesenu HaRabim, we're not so deserving the totality of Klal Yisrael to be called, because of our maisim, we're royal servants. And I think that's why the hashgacha had it, that we're not, that we don't have tcheles anymore, because Nebuch, we don't all represent what that means to be a royal servant of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But even if it's not a rabbim, even if it's not the totality of Klal Yisrael or Reiv of Klal Yisrael, but Bochrim, Yeshivalite Bochrim that learn the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, that want to steig and want to grow, and are... grow in Torah, grow in Yerushalayim, grow in Midas Tovus. You can be royal servants, and you are royal servants with your Maisim. You know, we're learning the Geula of Klal Yisrael now, and the Rabbeinu Shalom giving the Torah. Try to have a picture of what went on. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. Either Rashi says one-fifth, in Chumash Rashi says one-fifth of the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. Rashi in the Novi when he talks about this, he doesn't even bring down 1 in 50. He brings down either the Maimer, the Mandoma that says 1 in 50 or 1 in 500. That means 1 of 50 Yidden only was Zoicha to leave Mitzrayim. And 49 of 50, they died. And the Rabbeinu Shalom took us out because of a few. Because of few. What I'm saying is what you can do, you know, learning and struggling and toil and trying to understand the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, trying to become a better person, a bigger person, trying to toil in Avodah and having your relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, everything can happen because of few. And you could be those royal guardians, you know, the royal guardians that we're the tcheles, although the maisa, we don't have a tcheles, but you can be royal servants in the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're glicklich, you're fortunate, you know, to be able to do this and realize how fortunate you have and the preciousness of the matana that you have. And, you know, you don't say a hesped on a nifter after a year. It's not a kovid, Rashi says in Yevamos. But the purpose here is not a hesped. The purpose is to learn from him, you know, the inner strength that we have and the conviction and the love for his people and to help his people, to help his bachrim. Those are things that you could learn and inculcate in your own life, and the Rabbeinu Shalom should help that. It should be with Zichrei.